and I'll read it to be exact, but see, God's desire for you is a whole lot better than you can ever imagine. And that's what we got to understand. You know, that's the reason why he wants us to pray, not my will, but your will be done. Because his will is a whole lot better than you can even think. It's a whole lot better than I can ever imagine. And that's what you got to understand. That's how Paul, when Paul wrote Ephesians 3:20, he said, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask, and according to the power that works within you. And you got to understand that there's a place in God that you can go that will bring you out of the natural and into the supernatural, to where people around you look at you and say, what happened to you? And you got to understand, and that's where God wants to take you tonight. He wants to take you out of just the normal realm, and he wants to put you in a place to where you have an expectancy of supernatural events in your life. You have a waiting, you may be in financial trouble tonight, but God's not. And you got to understand that. And I'm not telling you not in a trial, but I'm telling you that God is bigger than your trial. And I'm telling you that he's looking for you to step up in faith and say, God, I'm not going to be moved. Now, we can say that easily sometimes. You know, just like Peter said, Lord, I'll not deny you. I'll go to the end of the earth with you. I'll do this. I'll die for you. And the Lord looked at him and said, Peter, before the cock crows, thrice you'll deny me twice. And he denied him just like the Lord said, crushed Peter, and he went off and was sulking in it, I guess, and he said, forget it, I'm going back fishing and all these other different things. And the Lord, when he resurrected, he said, tell my disciples and Peter. See, the Lord don't give up on you. You got to understand that. The Lord don't just say, forget it, you're to such a hard case, I'm not going to deal with you, I'll go to somebody else. That's not our God. Our God says, give me the hardest case, and I'll make an example out of them. I'll put a life in them. I'll bless them. I'll heal their bodies. I'll do a mighty work in them. And because of his goodness, you got to understand that. You know, he's not up here to beat us down. I'm excited. I don't know what's coming, but I'm excited. And I'm telling you. But Amos 3:3, he took me into this last week, and this is not my message tonight. I actually preached it last Sunday morning in Richwoods. But it says, can two walk together except they agree in agreement? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And the Lord started showing me, if you're married, your husband or wife, if not one of each, but a husband and a wife, you got to be clear in these days times, but if you're a husband and wife and you don't walk in agreement, your marriage and your whole family is jacked up. Your whole life is messed up. Nothing seems to work. Everything. But the Lord started showing me. He said, this is no different when I'm walking with you. He said, well, you got to walk in agreement with me. It don't matter if you feel right. It don't matter if it sounds right. You got to walk in agreement with me. See, in me, when he says that, he's talking about the word of God. I got to walk in agreement with him. If I walk in unity and agreement with the Lord God Almighty, then every promise in this book is mine. Because he said he will not lie. And I'm here to tell tonight that whatever you have need of, God is more than able. More than able. But we got to understand that the Lord works according to his word. He don't go against his word. He don't make a special exception for me. He don't make a special exception for somebody else. The word, he said, you know, the word is always true. It's always there. And we got to understand that it's God's desire to build a body in this hour that stands up in the middle of darkness and shines. He did not come to the earth for us to just be sinners saved by grace. If you study out the word of God, he came to the earth to restore that which was broken from Adam in the garden, from Adam and Eve's time. He come back. He came to restore the things that the enemy had robbed. And listen, I don't know about you, but I want to see the full restoration. I don't want just a partial restoration. If I got a 66 fastback Mustang, I don't want somebody to just do one quarter panel. I want the whole car done. And I'm here to tell you, it's the same way in your life. God don't want to just fix part of you. you and restore the life partially. He wants the full deal in your life. But you got to expect it. You got to look for it. You got to remind God, God, you said you would do this. If I do what you said in this book, you said you would do it in my life. But the enemy's going to come in and he's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to frustrate you. He's going to try to make you think, well, that's for Aaron, but that's not for you. He's going to try to make you think that you sin too much. He's going to try to tell you that you're worthless. He's going to try to tell you that you can't make it because your daddy wasn't right. He'll tell you whatever he can. But anything the devil says is a lie, and you got to understand that. If it don't line up with the Word of God, then it ain't no good. You got to understand that. It's got to line up with this book. I even tell sinners that don't go to church. They don't believe. They believe in God, but they don't go to church. They don't want to be around people like that and all these different things. I said, but if you want your life to change, I said, you got to be obedient to the Word of God. I said, if you're lacking in your finance, then you got to sow into the ministry that's working for God. And I'm telling you, it works. If you'll do what this book says, you'll see the evidence of it. It's a sowing and reaping process. But listen. God sent his only begotten son to condemn the world. No, he came not to condemn the world. He came to give us life. And I'm telling you, the Lord's been speaking to me. You may be in the worst struggle you ever had, but get your eyes off the struggle. Get your eyes on the Lord and get your eyes in the book, in the Word of God, and stand on the promise. Find your trouble in this book and say, Lord, right here, you're the deliverer, Lord God. Even if you messed up so bad, you don't think you could be saved. This book says that you can be. If you'll repent of your sins and confess them and do what he says do, you'll have the life that he promises. But see, the enemy in America, he's come in and he's proclaimed. Now listen, it says that even Satan comes as an angel of light and his demonic as ministers of righteousness. Whether people like it or not, there is a false doctrine that's been preached in America for years. I got the honor to meet a missionary family. They're out of Illinois. They've been in Albania for 9 years. I met with them Sunday and sat down with them for about 2 hours, and which he invited me to come to Albania. But he started telling me, he said, let me tell you how we minister in Albania. Now, he was a pastor at 20-something years old, young 20s, in Witt, Illinois, a little bitty town on the other side of Hillsboro, Illinois. But it just didn't work for him. He told the other people, he said, this is just not for me. And he felt like God called him into the mission field. And he went over there and dodged gunfire, dodged tanks, dodged wars, and all these different things, and wound up meeting his wife on the mission field. And they got 4 kids with him now. But he started talking to me, and he said, he's telling me the miracles that's happening. And he said the first miracle they seen when him and his wife was there, they called her the nun and him the priest. And then when they got married, he said that she's the nun that married the priest. And they call, that's why they call him over there. But I mean, the first miracle he seen was several years after they been over there. He said that the wife was teaching the orphans. There's a lot of orphans because of the war. It was killing a lot of the parents and everything that was going on. And this grandmother brought a young child, a 5-year-old girl, that had kidney disease, but no money for doctors, no money for medicine, no money for medical. And they brought him to his wife, and she said, what do you want me to do? And the family said, we want you to pray for her. And she prayed for her, and she said she just prayed a simple prayer. Lord, we're asking you to do a miracle in her life, you know, heal her body. 5 days later, he said that the whole family came back and said, our daughter is healed, completely healed. No sickness, no more in her body, completely healed. And they came to her and they said, can we bring the rest of the kids from the village that are sick? But he said, and it's 70% Muslim over there, very radical area. It's not like here. The 13-year-old girl said there's no trees or grass like Missouri. Said it's just barren, mostly concrete where they live at. But he said, my ministry is not preaching in the church no more. He said, now, I have prayer meetings. And he said, I'll have up to 180 people in my prayer meetings. He said, I'll share Jesus, the goodness of Jesus. And he said, for about 10, 15 minutes. And he said, then we wait on the Lord. And he said, the people will sit there with their hands out. And he said, all of a sudden miracles will happen and lives are healed right in before them. Nobody touching them. And now this is the power of God. Well, this got me all stirred up. I'm thinking, Lord, I want to know why we're not having it in America. I want to know why we're not seeing it now. And he said, you know, we don't have the expectancy that these people have over there. They don't have nothing else. If over there, you can get killed for being a Christian. You know, they're 70% Muslim. And, but he started showing me. But this man, and he walked in such authority and talked in such authority. When I spoke to him and I could feel the authority of God in his voice, and I thought, Lord, what is this? And I've heard a lot of good preachers, but this guy talking for 40 minutes was more powerful than a lot of messages I've ever heard in my life. And I said, God, I said, what is in this man that's not in America right now? Why are we not seeing the power of God? This man walks in authority. So I started seeking the Lord. And the Lord said, you got to walk in authority. And you got to walk in the authority I've given you. I didn't just save you to be a sinner saved by grace. He said, and I started studying it out. And he started taking me into different verses that shows that we're a son of God or a daughter of God. It shows that we're the head and not the tail. It shows that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Well, you know, he started taking me into verses that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And he started going into all these different places and going through my heart and through my mind. And I said, Lord, I said, we need this in America. I said, we need what I seen in this young man. And he's in his 40s now. And I started seeking the Lord. And we're going to go to a couple places. And this is actually the message the Lord gave me. But we're going to start in Luke 7. But listen, I want you to really understand. I want you to understand this. That we're in a time right now that the enemy is working overtime in America. You know, everywhere I go, people I talk to, whether it's at the haircutting place or wherever I'm at, grocery store or wherever, if you look on people's faces, they're broken, they're hurting, they're crying out, and God hears their cries. God's going to raise the people up. God never lets the enemy completely ravish a nation, completely ravish a country. And God's going to raise a people up that's going to stand and walk in the authority that he's given. Listen, and everybody that's a Christian has quoted this. It says, greater things than these ye shall do, because I go unto the Father. Anything you ask the Father in my name, it'll be done. And we quote this stuff over and over, but 99% of the time, we don't see that power. You don't see the evidence that's behind that scripture. And so I started seeking. I said, Lord, I said, and listen, because I know people that fast nonstop. They have no more power than you do. I know people that pray their Bible nonstop, no TV in their house, nonstop. Are they walking close to God? Yes, but I've not seen no different power in their life and in other believers' lives. So there's something different that's going on. And I'm telling you, and I believe this is for all of us. It's not just for one, but there's an authority that you can get into in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that he come to restore from the beginning that will shake this earth. See, the missionary, before he left me, he said, he invited me to Albania, which I'd love to go. But I wouldn't want to go unless God said to go, because I don't want to be crazy in the flesh. And they'll preach you hard over there. The other guy that was there, he went with him, and I think they preached 17 times in like 10 days, 17 services. The people are hungry. But he looked at me and he said, you don't need to go anywhere. He said, I've been here for like, I forgot what he said now, 5 days since they've flown in. And he said, you have just as big of a mission field here as I have in Albania. And he said, I couldn't believe it. He's not been here 9 years. His kids have never ate a McDonald's cheeseburger until like 5 days ago. But he said, you have just as big of a mission field in America as we do in Albania now. I've had several missionaries tell me that America is just in need of missionaries as any place else. Listen, church, we got to raise up a body that is a missionary minded, that we're going to take America back. We're not going to let the devil destroy our families. We're not going to let the devil destroy our marriages. We're not going to let the devil destroy our finances. We're not going to let the devil destroy our relationships. We're going to stand on the word of God, and we're going to be like that tree that's planted by the water. We're going to stand with our roots firmly planted, firmly rooted into the ground, with not wavering when the enemy comes in. See, the enemy's got a scare tactic that he's trying to use on Americans. He'll come in, and as soon as they try to start going up, he'll come in and frustrate things, make things rough, and the Christians will back down. See, the Lord showed me we can't back down. See, over there, the young Albanian, he was trying to cross the border to get home, and he said that they told him, they said, you can cross, but there's a war going on up there. So he said he'd walk a little ways. He didn't have no car. He'd walk a little ways and hear machine guns fired, sit on a rock, start thinking about his mom. He said, you know, when you're about to die, you start thinking about your family and these different things. And he'd pray for a while, and he'd get up and he'd walk again, wait to hear if he hears any tanks or anything else going on. And he said that he heard this rumbling noise coming, and it was a Yugo, rusty old Yugo, that pulled up and stopped next to him, and he said, will you take me to the airport? And he said that the driver of it said, look, there's a war going on. They'll surely stop us 4 or 5 times and probably kill us if your God don't do something. He said, but for $100, I'll take you. So he paid him the $100, and what I'm getting at with this, what I heard in this guy's voice, that this life didn't stop him. He done had his authority in heaven. He done had a place in God that if I die on the road today, my life don't stop here. I go on to be with my Heavenly Father. I go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he got in the car and they drove across 4 or 5 checkpoints. And he said he know God delivered them, because he got to one checkpoint with rifles pulled and everything going on. A very heated moment. He said the one captain looked down and it said evangelical minister. And he said he could read English. He said if he couldn't read English, he don't think he would have made it. But he said he let him go through. But I'm here to tell you that God has not sent Jesus to die a horrible death on the cross for us to just barely make it. He's not. So I'm going to go in Luke. And this is where the Lord started showing me a couple different things. But in Luke, the 7th chapter, the 1st verse, I'm going to read a couple verses. I'm going to get down to verse 8. It says, now, so I can get the story behind it, it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they had came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was a worthy for what whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. See, there's some of us sit here that we don't think we're worthy for what the Lord has for us. But I'm here to tell you right now, it's not our worth that reason why he does it. He does it because of his goodness. It's the goodness of God. And I can do 100, you know, the Lord's really been showing me, look, there's nothing that I can do to make him love me anymore. There's nothing that I can do to make myself more worthy than anybody else. Now, yes, we fast, we pray, we read, we seek the Lord, but we don't do that for a gain in the Lord's presence. We do that because we love him, we want to know him, we want more of him. We do it out of a surrendered heart. But this centurion, he said, I'm not, he recognized, I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. It says, wherefore neither I thought myself even worthy to come unto him. So he didn't even feel the worthiness. This is a centurion. He didn't even feel worthy to come talk to Jesus himself personally. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of times that's what the enemy does. He'll try to make you think that, look, you've done so much bad. You've had all these bad thoughts going on in your mind. You've done this or done that. And he'll try to beat you down to make you think that you can't come into the presence of God. But I'm here to tell you, that's not biblical. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Take up my yoke. My way is easy. My burden is light. You got to understand the devil is lying and he's deceiving. He's trying to take people over and he's trying to rob us of what is ours. You have authority tonight to stand against the enemy. You have